In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tis a good morning indeed, buddy. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Great to have you. Happy whatever today is. Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. People, great to have you. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you for the next 4 hours of the most electrifying sports talk you're going to find anywhere at any time today. Let's get rolling. I am not going to make another argument for Nikola Jokic to be the NBA's most valuable player for two reasons. Number one, you already know it's true and I'm right. Number two, because those votes are already in and the concept of voter fatigue is real. They do not like handing out back-to-back individual awards, which means that SGA is going to win this thing. The reason I bring it up is not to talk NBA MVP. So, did you happen to watch any of Timberwolves Thunder last night, game one of the NBA's Western Conference Finals?
All right, so I watched the next day.
Honestly?
I recorded the game, was going to watch this morning. I checked out the score because I was going to watch at least the fourth quarter this morning. I saw it was a blowout. I was like, eh. Joe Hendry? Or this, and I went with Joe Hendry.
It's respectable. I also believe in Joe Hendry. Now, ordinarily.
Tonight's a different story, though.
Tonight is a different story.
I'm more interested in this game tonight than I am the Western Conference game.
More than fair. Knicks-Pacers is going to be a slugfest, and we're going to talk about that coming up here in a little while. Ordinarily, Rob Brown would, whether it is Lonzo Diso-Cole, Brad Evans, Ryan Horvat, Cody Decker, Rob Brown would say, you know what? Even if it's a blowout, I think if you are a sports talk host in any capacity, you have some obligation, even if it is a blowout, you have some obligation to watch anyway if you have the opportunity, because I think it is important to know why a blowout was a blowout. And that is something that I do not think you can get without watching the game, or at least not get without, you know, stealing somebody else's take essentially. I think if you wake up in the morning and you look and you see, oh, that game was a blowout, like Florida over Carolina last night, for instance. We're getting to that later in the show, too. I think that if you see a game as a blowout, there is some level of responsibility to look at it and try to put two and two together to figure out why it was a blowout. Now, the reason I bring that up is I do not have an issue with Zoe or Cole or Diesel or anybody else not having watched this game last night. Not because they made an active decision not to watch it, but because as much as I enjoy the skill level of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's real tough to watch. It's real tough. For a guy who gets 39-7 a game, he's real tough to watch. I have avoided the discussion of whether Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a, quote, free throw merchant or not. I have avoided it at large because I do think there is, as I have said for many years about most sports, I do think there is an element of gamesmanship in understanding how you can help your team by getting whistles, right? Like I've talked about soccer for years. When those of you who incorrectly say it is a sport full of floppers, I have made the argument for many years that if you take a hit on the soccer pitch that is not legal, the only way, and this is an officiating problem, not a player problem, but if you take a hit that is not legally allowed in soccer and you can get a whistle that earns the ball back for your team and at an advantageous situation, you take that whistle. You take that whistle. You get that ball and you set your team up with a free kick that gives them an opportunity to make something happen. That's good for your team. That helps you win. If you don't like that in the sport, then you have an issue with the rules. You have an issue with the officiating, not with the game itself. So I do not fault Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But there was a play in this game last night where SGA, I think it was the third quarter, but there was a play in this game last night where SGA drove to his left. He got Anthony Edwards, who we have to talk about as well. Ant-Man rolled his ankle in the opening quarter of this contest. Ended up only missing the second quarter. And at the end of the second quarter, the Thunder actually led this game. They gave themselves a chance to win. They just faded down the stretch. So SGA gets the ball, drives left. Ant-Man is on defense. SGA gets into the paint. Throws, I don't want to say throws, because it wasn't like violent, but he kind of like shifts his body to the right into the chest of Anthony Edwards, who has both hands up. I got told by an official once, and some of you who have officiated basketball, you may argue this with me, but I had an official who told me once, if you want to ensure that you are not called for a foul, make sure that the official that is looking at you can see the palms of your hands.
So you're saying you can't foul with any other part of your body other than your hands?
I'm saying you can, but it's going to have to be violent. I'm saying most officials, and on top of that, it would take you going into the player. What I got told by a college referee one time.
A hip check is still, I mean, if your hands are up.
A hip check is throwing your body into the player. A hip check means you are thrusting your hip. You know, and if there's one thing me and Lonzo know about, it's thrusting hips. All right? I got told by a upper level college official about 10 years ago that as an official, he said, if I'm the official that's looking at the defender from the back of the offensive player going in, and I see the palms of both hands, unless you throw your body into the offensive player, I'm not going to call a foul. Because if I can see your palms, that's the part of the body that you would most likely do the foul. Now, if you hip check or if you jump your chest out or whatever, that's a different story. But if you are playing defense one-on-one against an offensive player and I can see your palms, you're probably not going to get fouled. SGA drives left. He gets into the paint. He gets up under the bucket. I can see the palms of Anthony Edwards. He's got him up. It's very evident. He is not throwing his body forward. If you watch the video, because there's a video from under the baseline, Ant-Man Edwards is on a straight line down the paint, right? On the hardwood on one side, the paint on the other. Straight line down, hands up, not throwing a hip out, not elbowing, nothing. Hands are up. SGA puts the right shoulder, again, not even violently, just kind of like shifts the right shoulder into the chest of Anthony Edwards, and then goes sprawling to the floor like he's been hit by a sniper. I mean, just throws the ball up at the basket. He does make the shot, which was honestly pretty damn ridiculous. But I got very frustrated this morning when I was sitting over in the fortress of nerditude doing the last few minutes of show prep. Because the last thing that I do before I come here into the room, after I have uploaded and edited all the audio, made sure I got the sports flash checked out, made sure our outline is kind of shaped how I think it should most effectively be done, yada, yada, yada. The last thing I do before I come here into the fortress, out of the fortress of nerditude and into the palatial studios of the Fan Upstate, is I take one more scroll through social media. And that's just to see, did anything break as we are going on the air, which has happened before. And so as I'm wrapping up the prep over in the Fortress of Nerditude, I decided this morning's app of choice was going to be Instagram. Follow me at the Rob Brown Show. I don't really use Instagram all that much anymore. I did for a while. I've kind of backed off on it. Now it's just kind of like a place to post the show videos.
Did the drop-off happen after your birthday?
No, it did not.
Just curious. I mean, no reason.
No, it did not. And I have not since late February yelled at a single kid about being on my lawn. Not one. There is one kid that is starting to get on my nerves, though, because he's got one of those... like one of those half-sized, gas-powered, it's like a mini motorcycle. Have you seen these things? They're like motorcycles, yeah. But they're real small.
Yeah.
He's got one of those. And this thing, it's a gas engine. It makes noise.
So it's too loud for you?
It's not that it's too loud. It's that we live on it's a circle, not like a cul-de-sac. It's like the neighborhood's a big circle. It's about a third of a mile around the circle. And this kid... if the sun is up, is on that motorcycle doing circles around the neighborhood. And so it's like,
maybe,
and then 45 seconds later.
Maybe it's the only place he's allowed to ride it.
And then 45 seconds later. And then 45 seconds later.
So how loud is your motorcycle when you get it?
I'm not riding it in circles around the neighborhood for, and this is going to sound like an exaggeration. It's not. 3 hours a day at a time. Just if I 3 hours, if I was turning circles, I would expect somebody to come out and hit me with a garden hoe.
That's pretty specific. Do you want to put out rumble strips or something? I mean, just...
I'm not saying I'm going to or want to do anything. I'm just saying, if somebody rode a damn motorcycle outside of your window while you were trying to watch TV for 3 hours a day every day, even you, oh, Mr. I Love the Youth, would eventually be like, yo, enough, dude. Enough.
I just turned the TV up.
Okay. Okay, Tony. So...
I guarantee you got some sound system hooked up to where you could crank it enough to not hear the motorcycle.
The point is...
or just start watching motocross or something like that. I mean, something where there are dirt bikes, and then...
I literally have a motorcycle. I drive it all the time.
I know, but if when he's out there doing that, you watch something motorcycle-related on TV, it will be ambiance.
The point of this story... was that I haven't gone out and yelled at that kid yet. I could. I could stand on the end of the driveway and be like, don't give it a rest. Stop. Stop. I know you're having a good time, but like, stop. And I haven't done that one time. I just go, all right.
So you want to yell at the refs for throwing out soft fouls? Is that what you want to do?
No. I don't even know how we got to that point. The point here is, I'm scrolling the Instagram right before I come on the air, and I come up to a clip from last night that I saw live, and it kind of stuck out to me, but I didn't really think about it that much, but I saw it this morning. Doris Burke was on the call last night in this game, and there is a shot from a camera on the baseline of this drive from Shea Gilgeous-Alexander from SGA. There is a shot of this drive. It makes it very obvious that Anthony Edwards has a defensive position, that he is not intruding into the halo, the cylinder of the offensive player. The palms are up. There is no arm movement towards SGA as a player. Nothing that is a foul. Nothing. SGA jumps into, not even jumps, it's like, I don't even really know how to describe it, just kind of shifts his body into Anthony Edwards and then goes sprawling to the deck like a scene from Saving Private Ryan and a howitzer went off. Just blah! And throws the ball at the rim, and it happens to go in. And Doris Burke, who to Doris's credit, did later on in the game, in the fourth quarter, she did start to ponder on the show if perhaps SGA is maybe getting some calls that he doesn't deserve. And I think, if I recall correctly, because I'm going to keep it a buck, by the point that this happened in that game, it was on the baby screen and I had the hockey game up on the big screen. Shouldn't have. What I should have done is gone to bed 4 hours before I did and just watched neither one of these games because the Canes bleeped the bed in game one. And this game, partially because of SGA, was made to be unwatchable. And for the record, I'm also very excited about Knicks Pacers, but I was actually really excited about Thunder Timberwolves because it's Ant-Man, it's SGA, it's two different styles of basketball, two well-coached teams, two young, energetic teams. I was really excited about this series, and after game one, I'm like, I don't really know if I am. So to her credit, even Doris Burke on the broadcast at one point was pondering, is SGA maybe getting some calls? So I'm going to give her credit for that, but the clip that I was watching,
I've seen the clip. So, I mean, a star player gets a call. Wow. That's never happened before.
There is a difference between getting a call and getting 11 calls that are blatantly not fouls. Not, this isn't like,
You mean the stuff that LeBron haters complain about every single game that he plays?
Yes, the difference is I watch LeBron get the bleep beat out of him and also get some calls. That does not happen to SGA. One of the issues, I will say this, and this is something I gave credit to Alex Caruso for in the last series against Denver, and I bet we're going to see more out of him coming up against Rudy Gobert. One of the things that I love what the Thunder did is take advantage of something that I believe is true about the NBA, and that is that small players, point guards, shooting guards, they get away with bull bleep when they are defending bigger players. Smaller guys defending bigger players get away with a lot. One of the things that the Thunder were doing is anytime Jokic got the ball outside of the block, short corner or on the elbows, if Caruso was on the floor, Caruso would attack him, and Caruso would attack the ball, and Caruso would be hitting the ball and hitting arms that he never got called. Referees do not call when small guys attack big guys, but they do call everything when a big guy is defending a small guy. And so I'm watching this particular play, and not only does SGA get a call, that it's like, guys, even if I was good with superstars getting calls, that's just not even kind of a foul. Doris Burke, in response to that, and again, she did correct it later, but in that moment, she goes, oh my goodness, I can't believe he made that shot. What an incredible talent. And it's like, there was no need for him to go sprawling to the ground like a Looney Tunes cartoon. Like he just stepped on a banana peel on Rainbow Road. There's no need for it. He threw himself down. I'm not even credit for making that shot. And if that's the way that this series is going to go, this series becomes, to me, damn near unwatchable. It was that bad, in my opinion. And I haven't said that about a single game this postseason until last night. All right, we got a lot to get to. College baseball, college football, NFL, NHL, Carolina Hurricanes get that ass whooped last night. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Let's go! It's the Fan Upstate.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I was on BetMGM tonight, last night, as I am every Tuesday at 8:20 p.m. Heard on this and fine Odyssey stations everywhere with Brad Evans and Ryan Horvat. And we talked some NBA playoffs. We talked some Major League Baseball. We were kind of all over the place. And then to wrap up the interview, my dear friend Bradley Evans said, Rob Brown, one more before we send you on your way. I have a bet on the New Orleans Saints to finish the season with the worst record in the NFL. And I have a secondary bet on your New Orleans Saints, and this kind of felt like a bit of a personal attack, I'm not going to lie, on your New Orleans Saints to finish this season 0-17. I got that bet at 350-1. Does it have a chance at winning? And my response to Brad was, Brad, that feels like a personal attack, and so instead of answering your question, I'm going to ask and answer my own question now, which is, can the Carolina Hurricanes get by the Florida Panthers and punch another ticket to the Stanley Cup Finals? And so allow me to answer my question, Brad. And fortunately, because Brad's a good sport, he did laugh and allow me to ask and answer my own question on a nationally syndicated interview. If you ever get the chance to do that, I advise against it. I will say, however, he thought it was funny, and our boss texted me. It was like, dude, that's actually really funny. So I got away with one there.
All right.
Okay? Got away with one.
The boss here?
No. The BetMGM Network boss.
Ah, okay.
Like, the big dog who gave me the show on Saturdays, big dog, texted me, and he's like, I just happened to be up listening because I'm watching the games. That was really funny. And I went, whew. Anyway, I told them.
No way they go 0-17. They play in the NFC South. They're gonna win at least one game.
I mean, I'd like to think we at least like fall back asswards into a win somewhere. Like somewhere.
Absolutely.
But we'll see.
I mean, what are the odds if you look at the history of the NFL? How many teams have went winless?
I'm gonna say in the last 30 years, I think two of them, or is it just the one still? I think two, right? I know Detroit did it once, and didn't Tampa do it once? I think two of them. We'll get our research department on that immediately, which is Lonzo and Google. Maybe ChatGPT, we'll see. Anyway, was talking about the Canes and said that I do believe that Carolina is good enough to knock off Florida, who is the favorite in this series. And Ryan Horvath said, no chance. And I said, no, let me give you a condition, because I do think, and I might be pretty close on this, but I do think that there is one number that if Carolina has this number go their way, they win the series. And if it goes the other way, they will lose the series. And that number is three. That is three power plays per game. The Florida Panthers.
I heard what you did there, Al.
It felt good. The Florida Panthers have a style of hockey that my brother texted me when that game was over last night and described as, and I quote, "What a bunch of jackass bullies." To which I said, "Yeah, they got Brad Marchand. They got Brad."
Isn't that what hockey? Isn't that what you want in hockey?
Not necessarily. No, you want physicality, but there's a difference between being a physical hockey team and a bully hockey team.
I think if you bully the other team in hockey, you're going to wear them down and you're going to win, probably. Right?
No, not necessarily. There have been some bully teams that just weren't good, because you still have to be able to move with the puck, move off the puck, set up your screens, set up your movements, set up your angles, run your offense, run your sets, take advantage of guys that get caught out of position, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to say this lovingly and respectfully. This is a misconception of non-hockey guy that just blasting dudes into the boards for 60 minutes is how you win hockey. It's not.
I think you read a lot into my comment.
Well, I'm not.
There always has to be shooters on the team, but if you have like a half the line out there being bullies and a couple guys that can, you know, get the puck down the ice and get it in the net.
Not necessarily, because all I need is one guy on the opposite side who gets the puck without a bully around him, sprints it into the offensive zone, and now I've got two or three guys out there that maybe aren't great defenders. They just hit. And they get trapped out of position. Like, there are ways to counter that. It's kind of like if you said, all right, height wins basketball games, and you roll out 5'7"-footers. Not really. I mean, there's ways to put it into the game, but it cannot be the only thing. That being said, Florida is a bunch of bullies. or as my brother called them, jackass bullies. They absolutely are, without a doubt. That's why they went and they got Brad Marchand. Aside from the fact that, hilariously, the Boston Bruins let that guy walk for effectively nothing. So, their captain.
So they have a bunch of bullies and one guy who scores goals.
Florida?
Yeah.
No, they've got multiple guys that score goals. They've got guys like Barkov, Brad Marchand can score goals, whatever. But they're short of watching a Panthers game with you, I don't know that because, again, hockey guy, but I'm not a coach.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying your judging. I think you're completely wrong on your judgment.
How many hockey games you watch this year?
It doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't?
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter. You don't watch hockey.
I can sit down and watch it and know it just as good as you without knowing every position. I mean, it's a sport, dude. I mean, come on.
That's lovingly a silly take.
No, it's not.
It just is, Lonzo. It just is.
I've watched hockey before. I'm not hockey ignorant.
Dude, do you okay, I've listened to radio. Do you think I could go over there and just run shows on the other station as well as you do?
I do,
I appreciate that's faith in me, and I have very little of that, so I appreciate it.
Hey, you told me before the show starts that how wrong you've been all day.
So. I've been getting my ass kicked the last 2 days, so it's been rough.
Why would I think your take now is I mean, I'm just going to say that I'm right.
You are welcome to say you're right. I think
you're taking offense where there shouldn't be any.
It's not offense.
Because I have watched the game. I can sit down and watch with you, and you don't have to little kid me and go, you know, Lonzo, here's why this happened.
No. That's not necessary. Stop. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is...
It sounds like that's what
it's you're not
doing.
What I'm saying. What I'm saying is the thought process of send five guys out...
Didn't say five.
...that are just going to beat the bleep out of the other team and you're going to win. That's not how it works.
Send four and one score. Is what I said.
Also not how it works.
It can work.
No, it can't. Hmm? If it could work, they do it. But nobody does that because it doesn't work. Okay. There are tougher hockey teams than Florida. Florida had put together a solid set of offensive players and Brad.
Okay, so how are they being bullies then?
How are they being bullies? They hit you off the puck.
Mm-hmm.
When they do hit you, there is a lot of hitting in this game that is designed to, I'm not going to go as far as call them cheap shots, but they are designed to get you off of your game, to make you more dialed in on the emotion of the game and on getting it back than it is allowing you to take the hit, get up, and go back in yourself, which is a mental weakness for Carolina.
So just psychology. You look at the psychological makeup of the other team and realize that they will break when certain things happen, so you go out there and you do them. So that's not being a bully. That's just understanding how to get in the head of the other team.
They are the Florida Panthers. They are the bad boy Detroit Pistons. That's the comparison I'm going to make. You know... The bad boy Detroit Pistons were absolutely bullies. That's why they're the bad boys.
Right.
If that wasn't bullying.
Four guys and then Isaiah Thomas as the scorer.
Four bullies
and Isaiah Thomas.
Yes, as we all know, the offensively worthless Bill Laimbeer. No. Skill position guys, but understood how to needle you, how to rib you, how to hit you, how to contact you in ways that flew under the radar because maybe they were fouls and maybe they weren't. But if the ref doesn't see it, it ain't a foul. It's just not. So that's Florida's game. It's the Detroit bad boys of the NHL. And so I told Brad when I was having this conversation with him last night, I told Brad and Ryan because Ryan is all over.
You mean when you were having a conversation with yourself?
Yeah, when I asked it, answer my own questions on a radio. That is 100% correct. Because I didn't want to talk about Brad's. I hated it so much. So
you didn't want to talk about the Saints. By the way, really quick, since 1944 season, five NFL teams have gone winless in a regular season. The 1960 Dallas Cowboys, the 76 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 82 Baltimore Colts, the 2008 Detroit Lions, and the 2017 Cleveland Browns. So... that's a major bet as far as gamblers go, gambling that a team would go winless when there's only been five in the history of the NFL.
Correct. And what? I said what? Two in the last 30 years?
Yes.
It is a big bet. And any bet at 350-1.
So that was an absolute dig at you.
Oh, absolutely.
And you handled it well.
Oh, I know. I do most things. I'll tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do because we're up on it. When we come back, I told Ryan Horvat, that the number was three. Three power plays per game. If the Carolina Panthers gave up three or more power plays in a game, sorry, Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, the Panthers, I feel the same way. But if the Hurricanes gave up three power plays in a game, they would take an L. If they gave up two or fewer, that they would win those games. It was going to be dictated by how many additional opportunities Carolina gave to Florida by responding to the way that Florida plays hockey and Carolina can't. Well, when we come back, I'm going to tell you why, at least through one game so far, I was spot on accurate. And we'll do that when we come back. Rob Brown, the Great Milonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Carolina Hurricanes, I can do this, decimated last night by the Florida Panthers in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. 5-2 is your final score. Florida had goals from Sam Bennett in the game. They had goals from A.J. Greer, amongst others. I know that all five Panthers' goals were scored by different players. Sergei Bobrovsky, I said coming into this, that the reason that the Canes are here, and if they move on, one of the reasons they will move on is goaltending. And you have, arguably, with the exception of maybe Jake Oettinger down in Dallas, you have the best two goaltenders in the postseason in Freddie Anderson and Sergei Bobrovsky, a.k.a. Bob, getting at it between the pipes with these two teams. But there was a number I gave last night on BetMGM Tonight when we were talking about, well, when Brad asked me about the New Orleans Saints, and I decided instead to just ask and answer my own question because I didn't want to talk about that. I said, I do believe Carolina is good enough. Even with the loss of Marty Natchez, who went to Colorado in return for a move that went sideways when Mikko Rantanen decided, yeah, I don't actually want to be here. I really want to be in Dallas, and got shipped out of town just a few weeks later, effectively leaving the Canes holding the bag. I said, I still think even with all of that, they're still good enough to win the series, but there is one number that is going to be an indicator of whether it is Florida or Carolina who punches a ticket, if it is the reigning defending, or if Carolina can make their return to the Stanley Cup Finals. And that number is going to be power plays surrendered. And I am not even talking about net. Like, if Carolina gives up 4 and Florida gives up 2, that's a net 2. I'm saying just power play surrendered by the Canes. I said to Horvat, if any game sees Carolina give up 3 power plays in one game, Carolina's losing that game. If there is a game where Carolina gives up 2 or fewer power plays in a game, they will win that game. It is just going to come down to power play surrendered. And the reason I believe that is multifold. Number one, the power play offense for Carolina is okay. Like, it's okay. It's effective, but it's not efficient. It's not elite. And with Florida giving up power plays, that only comes into effect and only has an impact on the game if Carolina's power play unit was efficient scoring goals. If they were scoring at a 50-plus percent clip on the play, 45, 42-plus percent clip on the power play, then this would obviously be a much different number that I am talking about in this spot. The problem is, it's not. It's fine, but it's not something you can point at and go, hey, man, if you can get Brad caught a couple of times, if you can earn a, let's say, 4-6 extra power play minutes in a game over Florida, you're coming away with at least 1, maybe 2 goals net out of that, and that should be enough to win the series. The second reason is, when you go on the power play, it's exhausting. If you talk to hockey guys, even hockey guys who are historically, traditionally tough dudes, it's kind of their reputation and they kind of take great pride in it, they will tell you it's exhausting. It's gassing to go on the penalty kill. And even if you have a dedicated penalty kill unit, these are still guys that have to go out there, effectively do the hockey equivalent of running gassers for 2 minutes, and then go back to trying to play regular hockey, which is taxing enough as it is. So you end up, when you are giving away 3 or 4 power plays in a game, you end up dragging into your stamina, which hockey by default already challenges. So when you're on the penalty, like a power play unit, not as gassing. You got extra room to work. You got guys chasing you, but you're in a spot where a lot of the power play time is going to be spent. Get to your spot, hang on to your spot, wait for the pass, grip it and rip it if you got a lane to the goal. And if not, either send it left, send it right, work it around. You're not moving as much. It's less taxing on the body. And therefore, when, even if you don't score, when you come off of the power play, 4 of the 5 guys on the penalty kill are gassed, which means you still have the advantage. They're breathing heavy. They can't make a shift. You get to work them until the next stoppage. But there's one more thing about that number that I think is the reason that I made it my key number for this series. It is just the fact that, as we have talked about, in my subjective opinion, Florida Panther hockey is bully ball hockey. They are going to chip away at you constantly. They are going to be constantly elbowing you, ribbing you, putting you into the boards, playing even more physical than the very physical game of hockey ordinarily is. And in the last series against the Caps, remember, I made the point repeatedly that the only reason I feel like the Capitals were in that series with Carolina as long as they were was twofold. Number one, they got Alex Ovechkin, and that dude can rip. So Avi was going to put some goals on the board for the Caps. But the number two reason that I believe the Caps were able to hang around with the Canes for as long as they did is solely because Carolina gets undisciplined. They get out over their skates. They play over aggressively, and they respond to those little rips. They want to be the tough guys too. And I understand that. That's a hockey trait. And honestly, it's just a dude trait. Like most of us, when somebody bows up on us and challenges our toughness, most of us have a natural instinct to respond to that challenge. I'll tell people all the time, unless you're actively playing sports, don't give into it, because nobody has ever had their life better because they got punched in the face. But like, especially with hockey bros, of which I've been close over the past 4 or 5 years working for the Rabbits, I've gotten close to some of the players, there is just a thing about hockey bros that they gotta remind you how tough they are. And so the concern that I had coming into this series against the bully ball Florida Panthers was that if Carolina does it again, if they decide that they need to, in the same way, but without the guys like Brad that have got it down to an art, if they decide that they need to prove to Florida that, oh, we are just as physical as you, we're just as tough as you, and they play undisciplined in that aspect of the game, that is the thing about Florida's bully ball hockey. They do it, but they are very disciplined in the way they do it. It's I acknowledge that it is almost oxymoronic. How in the world can you play a style of sport that is defined as, we are going to hit you a lot, we're going to hit you real hard, and we're going to chip away at you in spots that maybe we're not supposed to, but we know we're going to get away with it. How do you respond to that, or how can you describe that as disciplined? The answer is, you've all played with that one guy at the Y on the pickup basketball court who just knows how, when you go up for a jumper, to give you the little love tap to the ribs. Or that one guy, when you are under the basket waiting for a rebound and the arms go up, he has always got the well-timed point of the elbow in between the rib cage. You know what I'm talking about. That's Florida Panther hockey. That's what they do. It's the hockey version of that. And so my concern was, for a team in Carolina that is very talented, that is quick, that has got dudes on offense, dudes on defense, they tend to play undisciplined. And when you try to match their game, but you don't have the discipline of their game trying to match their game, they're going to get you. Last night, the Carolina Panthers gave away 4 power plays. That's not going to get it done. That is 8 full minutes of hockey where Florida, a team that already has you on the heels, had you on the heels, had an extra skater, and for the minutes after the power play that they did not score on, have your PK unit out there trying to play traditional defense gassed out of their minds. It's not good. It's not good. So my number was 3. If an undisciplined team, and I even hesitate to use the word undisciplined because it does make it sound almost like it's a bad hockey team. It's not. They just tend to respond and allow the team on the other side of the ice to dictate the tone, if not the tempo, the tone of the game. And if a team allows their opponents to dictate the tone of the game, they're obviously going to dictate it to their play style. Florida did that last night. They made it a game that was less about tactical, efficient, executed hockey and more about me hit you hard, you hit me hard, we see who's strong. And when Carolina played that game, Florida just started running away with it. It was 2-1 at the end of the first period. It was not an unwinnable game. It was 3-1 at the end of the second period. Again, still not an unwinnable game at that point, but Florida was very clearly in the driver's seat. And Carolina was going to have to come up with something remarkably special in order to climb back into that game at that point, and they just didn't have it in them. And part of the reason they did not have it in them was because at that point, they had spent so many minutes playing a man down that it was very clear and obvious they were gassed, and Florida was not. They were gassed, and the Panthers were ready to roll for 20 more. And so Florida just popped two more in the net in the third period, and that was all she wrote. Carolina got one back from Jackson Blake with like 3 minutes left in the game on the power play. But as we talked about power play, you were down already. Verhaeghe scored on the power play 8 minutes into the first period. Bennett scored on the power play 6 minutes into the third. There's two goals right there. You got one back with Jackson Blake with 3 minutes to play on the power play late, but you're down 5-1. That ball game is over. At that point, not only does Florida have you taking the L in game one, but now Florida is just nothing but bullying you. They're not super worried about playing the greatest defense on the game, because whether you win by one or you win by four, game one's in the bag, you're up 1-0 in the series. It's a race to four, not a race to a point total. So by the late portion of the game, after Florida had built up a lead because Carolina had given away two goals on their four power plays and were gassed and you could see it, then Florida shifted away from let's go score another goal to let's just beat the crap out of them for the last 5 minutes of the contest so that when we play two nights from now back here in Raleigh, they are beaten up, they are bruised, and they are more gassed tonight than we are, meaning we're going to be better off to start that game on Thursday. To me, it absolutely felt like Florida set the tone of that game. I said three power plays or more surrendered by Carolina in any given game, and you can go ahead and mark that game down as a loss. They gave up four. Florida scored on two of those four. 50% power play efficiency will win you a hockey game. 50% power play efficiency will win you a Stanley Cup. But the penalty kill unit was gassed. That meant the defense was gassed coming off the penalty. And on top of that, Carolina was trying to play Florida's game. You want to win game two? You want to make sure that it is now a best of five series that ends in Raleigh in a game seven? This next game, Carolina has got to chill out. If Brad hits you and you don't appreciate it, you don't like to say this, and I know hockey bros don't love this philosophy, got to let it go. Next play, right? What do we say in football when a cornerback gives up a big play to a wide receiver? Short memory. Be a goldfish. Next play. Move on. That's what this Hurricane team's got to do. Don't worry about being the tough guys. They do not have a Stanley Cup for toughest guys on the ice. They do not hang a banner for team with the most hits. We do not talk about the 2024 Florida Panthers because they were bullies. We talk about them because they won the Stanley Cup, because they played their game. They made other people play their game, and they could not. They're doing it to you right now, Carolina. Fix it or go home early. That's all there is to it. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we got your water cooler cheat sheet. Mack Brown and Peter Burns over the last 2 days both had very interesting thoughts on college football. Peter Burns says a transfer portal is actually hurting the SEC. Mack Brown gave some suggestions on how to fix college football in a way we're all happy with. We'll play those and talk about them in the next hour. Here's something you'll all be happy with. Lonzo's Sports Flash.
If I can get through it without sneezing again. Oklahoma City opened the Western Conference Finals over the Timberwolves with a 114-88 win. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 31 with 9 assists, and Jalen Williams added 19 and 8 boards. Anthony Edwards had 18 but missed some minutes due to a rolled ankle in the first quarter. The Atlanta Braves will stay at 500 after a 5-3 loss to the Nationals. Spencer Strider return went 4.1 innings, giving up 6 hits, including a home run to Dylan Cruz, and 4 earned runs in total while striking out 3. L.A. Dodgers All-Star Shohei Ohtani is working his way back to the mound. Ohtani, who has been throwing fastballs and changeups, has added breaking balls to his rehab and is expected to face live hitters in the next few weeks. Hour number 2 of the Rob Brown Show and the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet coming up right here on The Fan Upstate.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
Amazon has everything for every kind of birthday. Whether that's a three-tier cake stand.
Happy birthday!
Comet balloons for your son's space theme party.
Happy birthday!
Or gifts like a karaoke machine for that friend who never stops singing.
Happy birthday to you!
From cake stands to karaoke machines, shop everything for every party on Amazon.